Ezekiel 14 through chapter 15. And we'll start in chapter 14 of the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, and verse 1. God's people, these are the words of God. And so they are inerrant and infallible and for our good. Then some elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put rites before their faces, the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, Any man from the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols, in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. But if the prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, who have prevailed upon that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people, Israel. They will bear the punishment of their iniquity as the iniquity of the inquirer is, so the iniquity of the prophet will be. In order that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions. Thus they will be my people, and I shall be their God, declares the Lord God. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst. By their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they depopulated it, and it became desolate so that no one would pass through it because of the beast, though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, they alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Or if I should bring a sword on that country and say, Let the sword pass through the country and cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men are in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, but they alone would be delivered. Or if I should send a plague against that country and pour out my wrath in blood on it to cut off man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, How much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beast, and plague to cut off man and beast from it? Yet behold, survivors will be left in it who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Behold, they are going to come forth to you, and you will see their conduct and actions. Then you will be comforted for the calamity which I have brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it. Then they will comfort you when you see their conduct and actions, for you will know that I have not done in vain whatever I did to it, declares the Lord God. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Can wood be taken from it to make anything, or Can men take a peg from it on which to hang any vessel? If it has been put into the fire for fuel, and the fire has consumed both of its ends, and its middle part has been charred, is it then useful for anything? Behold, while it is intact, it is not made into anything. How much less when the fire has consumed it and is charred? Can it still be made into anything? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I set my face against them. Though they have come out of the fire, yet the fire will consume them. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully, declares the Lord God. And that is the word of the Lord. Starting in back in chapter 14, we see that some of the elders of Judah, of Jerusalem, come to Ezekiel the prophet. And they, as we see, that's surprising to us, but the word of the Lord comes. Elders of Israel, you are not qualified to come before the prophet. You're not qualified to come before the prophet. It seems like a good thing for the elders to come before the prophet to listen to God's word. But they are met with rebuke from the Lord and not acceptance. And we ask the question, why? Because of their sin. It's the same general thought that we had in the call to worship this evening. God can see all our works. And He saw their works. And He is holy. And they are not allowed to come before His prophet because of their sin, because of their iniquity, specifically because of their idolatry. Because they have acted wickedly. And they don't have Christ as their mediator. And so you see how merciful we must count the Lord as we come ourselves to worship with all our idols and our transgressions and our iniquity, beloved. And that's why we pray for His mercy as we always come before the throne of grace. Because there's only one difference between us and those elders, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness for us. These elders were just coming before the prophet. So instead of receiving the word, they were looking to receive God's word, and yet they received the call upon them to repent and turn from their idols as we must do, us, lest they be judged. But if they do not repent, they will be judged with destruction, as we've seen through Jeremiah and now through Ezekiel. Repent that they would no longer stray. Repent. And now the second half of the chapter, we see how serious God is. Not even if Noah and Daniel and Job pleaded on behalf of all of Jerusalem and Judah that they would be delivered from this wrath of God and the judgment. Not even if they would plead for the whole nation, could the nation be delivered. They would be delivered themselves, but not the rest. Because the nation, the elders, the false prophets, the kings, they're still in great sin and they are without repentance, without submission to the Lord God. And yet promised is the remnant that they will escape, those who truly believe. That's the last couple verses in chapter 14. They will repent, they will turn to the Lord, and they will escape the judgments of God. And that's true for any. Even today, will that be you as it was for them? And then chapter 15, we go back to judgment. Ezekiel has prophesied over and over again of Jerusalem's utter ruin. And here he comes, seemingly the Lord does, to comfort Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel, just as we would, probably have trouble with dealing with the Lord saying He's going to judge the whole nation of God's visible church, the visible people of God. And he shows Ezekiel that it must be that Jerusalem is destroyed and Judah is destroyed like the dead and withered branches which are already dead and withered. They've produced nothing in this life and they will be thrown into the fire. Why? Because dead, withered branches already used for fuel are not useful anymore. And as they're dead, they're not useful for anything. It must be that they are judged. He says in verse 7, though they have come out of the fire, yet the fire will consume them. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully, declares the Lord God. They have not lived in righteousness according to the word of God. And so, beloved, we must turn and repent of our sin lest we find ourselves in the same dread as these promised here in Jerusalem and Judah. Or in idolatry. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that though we have our own idols, remaining idols and remaining sin, you have delivered us from the guilt of them and turned us from the wrath, your wrath and your judgments to you, a loving and merciful God, a God who receives us in Christ Jesus alone. And you call us even now to come and continue in worshiping you, praising your name, and listening to the word of God, listening to you as you speak to us. And Father, there is often rebuke because we have broken your commandments. And there's often reminders, as we've heard just now, of coming judgment if we do not repent, and the wrath of God to come out upon us if we do not repent and turn unto you, turning from our sin. And as we have not loved you and we have not loved our neighbor, we seek now that you would be merciful to us. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We have broken all your commandments in thought, word, and deed. And so, Father, be merciful to us and change our hearts and mold our hearts and make us holy as Christ is holy and righteous as you are righteous. Father, grant us salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, for your glory alone. Father, we thank you for putting us in our different callings, in our homes, in our workplaces, in schools when we will go back in a few weeks. You have put us in our different callings, even our being wives or husbands or children or parents, elders. Father, grant us to see you, your Son, as the supreme authority over all, and that you would cause us to be submissive unto you in all things. As the church is to Christ, we pray that we would be submissive and obey you in all things, that we would not be like Judah and Jerusalem, like Israel, but we would rather be like the remnant who turn from our sin unto you, and that we would believe the gospel. And tomorrow that we'll believe it again, and we'll believe it again, and believe it again, and renew our faith, and be strengthened in our faith by you. Father, only you can do these things, and so we plead that you would do them. Father, you hate sin, and so we ask that you would sanctify us, that we would not sin against you anymore, and that you would make us perfect in holiness, and that you'll have us to cause to be within us a longing to be with you forever and ever, and remind us of the great comforts that we'll have, that we have already guaranteed to us, sealed, by the blood of Christ, that is, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrows, but only perfect joy and blessedness for all eternity with you. We long for that now. And yet, Father, we struggle in our hearts, often thinking that when we sin, you will leave us. When we sin, you will judge us, and you'll turn your face from us. And yet, Father, we also know that what your word promises, in which you are always faithful, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not Satan, not any creation, and as your word says, not anything in all of creation. And Father, we hang our hope and our faith upon that. Your word and your promises. May your promises be in our minds and hearts this week as we go through different circumstances and trials and struggles. And cause us always to turn back to you when we have sinned against you. Knowing that we will find the loving Savior, you, Father, who will receive us because of your Son, who is altogether righteous and holy. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.